Thank you so much. God bless you so much. Please put up the sermon, sound team. All right. Good afternoon. And praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you, and thank you for coming to the house of God today and also making this your church. It's such a wonderful thing. And I mentioned to you last Sunday that one of us, Brother Brian, had lost his dad, and we went there on Wednesday, I think about 70 people. And it's quite far, you know, the Muruti, you know, quite far, but love took us there. And we hope that he felt the warmth and the prayers we sent his way and his family. And that is the spirit, as I say a million times. That should be the spirit. We need to support each other. We need to be there for each other. Amen. And then there is a brother called Victor. You know, how many people know Jeremano? Victor Jeremano? If you don't know Jeremano, you need a brief after this sermon. He helps us around with the camera. He does many other things. We all found, most of us here found him here. Been here for almost, how many years? Above a decade. 13, it's almost 15 years I've been in this church. I found Jeremano around. The way he is. Now, Jeremano got an accident, and he burnt his leg, and he asked us to pray for him, and he's our brother in the Lord. So can we mention a prayer for him? Heavenly Father, we commit our brother and your son, Victor, whom we know very well. Lord, as he recuperates at home due to the accident he got, we pray for your healing hand to be upon him. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you may remember that your son and minister to him wherever he is. For this is our prayer of faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Now, an emphasis on one of the intimations, the Beth Mogo Foundation. They'll be here next Saturday and Sunday for free cancer screening. Please take advantage of that. It's very expensive, I understand, to do some of this screening. Please come. Don't say you are young. This is not something that belongs to the old. You are trying to think who is old that you know that can come. Now it's you. So please come, invite a family member or a friend from Saturday and Sunday. It will be a great idea. Come. It's free of charge. Take advantage of these moments that come our way through the grace of God. Amen. You know, cancer is a huge problem now. So when you get something like that, they tell us early, what do you call it? Yes, diagnosis, you know, is better than when it is at the last stage. So please come next Saturday, remember, and Sunday. Now, today, our focus is mission, as Elder Sam said, sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. And in PCA, we call it Nendeni. Nendeni comes from the Great Commission, go ye. So the Swahili version of go ye is Nendeni, go. And this is what we'll be talking about today. And all right, good. Now, when people think or hear about going out, what comes into mind is a missionary movement from one place to another. We have a vibrant youth mission in this church. They keep on going. The last mission they went to was in Limuruti, which we mentioned here. And sometimes we think that when we call to go out is when we move from one place to another. That missionary movement, which is okay. But there is another element that we forget sometimes. The action or the act of sharing the good news in whatever way. It could be where you are. It could be in your family. It could be in your workplace. That itself is going out to share the good news with other people. Now, sometimes we also think that preaching the good news belongs to some people. You may think it belongs to pastors. You may think it belongs to elders. You may think it belongs to evangelists. But the truth is, anyone who has tasted that the Lord is good, they are supposed to share out that which they have tasted with the others. And that's why when the Lord was going up, he said, go ye. Go ye, move. And he talked about that physical movement, but more so the act or the intention to preach the good news with other people. Now, our greatest mandate in this world is to spread the good news. After all has been said and done, the best you can do is to share the good news. Now, the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the ages, throughout the history of the Christian faith, it has grown through sharing. When Jesus died, he passed it over to the apostles. The apostles passed it over to the church fathers. The church fathers passed it on to other people until we have Christianity the way we have it today. And the Christian faith is still propagated. It's still moving on because it grows through sharing. And that's why he said, go ye. And that is an active call. It's to never end until the Lord comes again. Go ye. So we keep on doing it. That's why the urge is daily. Go on and share the good news with others. And our greatest mandate in this world is to spread the good news. This is the greatest work anyone can ever do. Amen? Because it has eternal consequences. Now, Jesus gave two parables that indicate that the kingdom of God grows through sharing or through spreading. Now, the first one is the parable of the leaven, which is also called the parable of the yeast. Now, if you are baking mandazi, you put a little yeast to the flour, and that yeast produces something huge. If you are baking a bread, for that bread to be the way it is, you have to put a little yeast. And he compares the kingdom of God with that, the parable of the leaven, that the kingdom of God starts in a small way, but ends in a great way. Now, the next parable is the parable of the mustard seed. Now, the parable of the mustard seed is recorded in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, the kingdom of God or heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. Now, that mustard seed in this sense means the word of God, which a man took. Now, which man is this one? Jesus Christ. And sowed in his field. Now, the field is the world. So, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the trees. And this is talking about the Christian faith. Christian faith is the greatest faith. And I say this without fear of contradiction. And don't just look at it in numerical sense. But all these other faiths there is in the world, they talk about man working very hard to get to God. But Christianity says, no, it is God who worked for us. We need to do nothing else. And that is what we call justification by faith. All these other faiths, they tell you have to work for your own salvation. But Christian faith says, no, you don't need to do it. God did it for you. Hence, it is the greatest faith in the world today. And I can say that without fear. So these two parables indicate that the kingdom of God starts in a small way and grows into big, big ways. And that's how Christianity has come to us today. Now, so why do we need to share the good news? Two reasons. Now, we need to share the good news because the gospel is good and the world needs it. It is something good and the world needs it. That's why it is called the good news. It is good news, and no amount of bad news can quench the goodness in this news. No amount of bad news. It is good news at all times. And Jesus says this, we call it the Jesus' manifesto. When he came to the world, he declared his intent. Why am I here? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, and the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. No, this is what Jesus said. And this is what the world needs today, because the world is full of poor people. And when you talk about poverty in this sense, it's not necessarily financial poverty. Now, this world is full of captives. Many young people are in bondage. They're in captivity. You know, addictions, bad habits. Jesus said, yes, those that are in those captivities, they need the good news, because the good news brings freedom. He said, there are so many people who are blind in the world, and not the physical blindness as we know it. People who have been blinded by sin. Because when we come to God, the Bible says, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So those that are living in darkness have seen a great light. And this is what the prophet declared, Prophet Isaiah, when he was prophesying about the coming of the Lord. He said, those that live in darkness, a great light has shone. And so there are many people who are walking in the darkness of sin today, and they need to hear the good news of the light. There are many people who are oppressed. There is a lot of social injustices happening around. To them, there is good news for them. So we need to go out in this world that is full of darkness, in this world that is full of injustices, in this world that is full of sin. The good news comes in handy. And that's why we need to share it, because the world needs it. Praise the Lord. Now, the other reason is souls are perishing. Souls are perishing. Now, this is a gospel that is not preached today, but we have to preach it anyway. There is a hell. As long as you believe in the Bible, then it becomes a reality. He says those in Revelation, two books were removed. One is called the Book of Life, and names were read, and the Bible clearly says the names which were missing in that book were told to go to the left side of the Lord. And those that were found in that book, called the Book of Life, were told to stand on the right hand, and they were ushered into the kingdom of God that was prepared before the beginning of the ages. Welcome to eternal rest, the Bible says, God will tell us. Now, those that are not going to be found in that book, that register. I didn't know there will be no crowd. I was trying to follow what is happening in Kibera, and people really complain. They say there, our names are not in the register. No, you not say the name is not in the register, because you write it yourself through what you do. Now, the Bible says they are going to be sent to hell. And that place is not good, friends, because it is eternal pain. People will languish in pain. The Bible says they will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And somebody said, what will happen to those who don't have teeth? Now, teeth will be supplied. Hell is no good place. And we have to preach it. And it is so, we need to share the gospel, because many people are dying and going to hell. So we need to share the good news with them, so that they too can have an opportunity to proclaim Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And God is looking at us in our offices, in our classes, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Share that word, so that that person who is about to be destroyed, that person who is taken on the path of hell thanks to their sins and rebellion, can be saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. And that is the truth, however painful it is. So we need to share the good news, because it is what the world needs. And number two, souls are perishing. So it is indeed a good thing to share the good news. It is indeed a good thing, people. When you're sharing good news, it is a good thing. And the Bible has given us many examples. Let me mention three quickly. The first one is Romans chapter 10. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And when the Bible talks about beautiful feet, he is not talking about pedicured feet. He's talking about something else. He is talking about how blessed. That word translated, maybe you read the Beatitudes, happy. Now, that word happy is translated blessed. So when he says, how beautiful are the feet, don't look at your feet, seeing whether they are beautiful. It's talking about how blessed. at the feet of them that share the good news. Number two, this is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, because the Bible cannot contradict itself, look at what the man of God, Daniel, says. He says in Daniel 12, verse 3, those who are wise. Now, Proverbs says, those who win souls are wise. Then Daniel says, now, those that are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those that lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Amen. And sometimes we think about it in theology. We say eschatologically. Did I use a big word today? Yeah. Theologically. Meaning, we think that it will happen at the last day. But the truth is, in heaven, there will be no competition. Like those, you know, we grew up in that understanding that when you win many souls, you are crowned, you shine more than, you know, there will be nothing like that. Because that competitive mind, it's God kind of mind, will not be there anymore. Because there will, the greatest joy will be being in the presence of God, not these other things we say. So I believe this starts here. You know, you're going to shine in many ways. Okay? So it's a great thing to share the good news. Share it. It is a great thing. So how do we need to reach out? I want to give you some practical ways. Needless to say, there are those that are obvious to us. Let me not go to those. Let me try to mention a few. We know about them, but perhaps in a new dimension. Now, so we need to reach out. So we need to go. The call has not changed. And the first thing that we need to do to share the good news is to pray. Pray. It starts through prayer. Mission, or if you like, missionary activity is born out of prayer. And friends, you cannot go wrong with prayers. I was very happy. I was saying in the morning, just on Friday and Saturday, a whole team went to pray and fast in Gilgil. They just came yesterday. Youth prayer, you know, almost a full bus to pray and fast. It's huge. Now, if I was in another church, they could have rejoiced. Because you are riding on their grace, actually. I'm serious. But you're just staring, pray, how can you fast? You know, just wonder how you can fast. But the truth is, they did a good job. You can never go wrong in prayer. Now, mission activity is born out of prayer. And this is what the Bible says. The harvest is truly plentiful. Plentiful in the sense that everyone in the whole world need to hear the good news. So it is plentiful. Then he says, but the sharers of the good news are a few. Now therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his field, into his harvest. So it's about, it belongs to God, it's not yours. So you need to pray. You need to pray. So the first thing you need to do is to pray. Very important, prayer. Now, after prayer, now I believe the number one way to spread the good news is living the good news. Before you even share it with anyone else, live it. Live it. Walk the talk if you like. And that's why Colossians 4, 5 to 6 says, walk in wisdom among outsiders. Walk in wisdom. Watch your speech. Then 2 Corinthians 3 and 2, Paul says, you are an epistle, you are a letter that's supposed to be led by anyone. So there is no way you are going to practice your Christianity in privacy. There is nothing like that. No wonder Jesus said you cannot lit a lamp and hide it under a cover. You need to release the light so that everyone can see. So your life is a message. How you live, how you do things, how you solve conflict, how you help people in the office, how you deal with people should show you belong to God. There are people we call silent admirers, people who admire you. They may not even tell you. They actually aspire to follow God because of you, so that when you mess up, you disappoint them. I grew up in Limuru just here, and I stayed in a plot where there was this lady I really admired. You know, her faith, she could host fellowships, could invite us there. Very, I really admired her faith quietly. Then one day we had a problem with water. And so we had to put jerry cans on the line. Some of, or most of you are familiar with this situation. Is that okay? Watu wa gara? Akwapi gatia? Anyway. So you line up the jerry cans. So for whatever reason, a certain lady came and removed her jerry cans. And this lady that I admired so much because of her faith was so furious that she mentioned words that I cannot mention here. You know those body organs? And the names of wild animals? Now, the truth is, I was totally disappointed. So when you mess up, there are people who they may not even tell you, but they like you in the class. They like the way you help. They like the way you talk, the way you are kind. People, even in the family, they know there is a person we can rely on. People can trust you. So that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Be careful how you behave. Because this is the first message before you take the microphone. Preach using your life. It must be evident that you met with Christ and you did not just meet. You met and had a conversation and a change. Because sometimes you could have met, but you passed each other on opposite directions. It must be clear you met with the Lord. Amen? Let's go to the next one quickly. Now, share your story. This is huge. And this is what the Apostle Paul does in Acts chapter 22. He tells his story. He says, by the way, if you see me preaching here, let me tell you something. I'm coming from far. I was a destroyer of the same church I'm studying for now. I persecuted Christians. I murdered Christians. He actually says elsewhere, I was a chief sinner. Like he had an award in sinning. You know those awards we hang? Like he had a few hanged on the wall for sinning. Then he says, until I came across the light on that way of destruction, the Lord hit me and I saw some light. You remember that story? This is his story. The next example is the perfect one. John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman. A whole village is literally converted because of the story of a woman. A woman who was supposed to hide in shame. A woman who was supposed to be rejected by the community. But this woman went to the same community in jubilation and they were in awe and wonder. They said, why are you jubilated? Why are you different today? She said, go to the well and meet a man who has told me all the things that I have done. Go to the well. And when they went to the well, the Bible says, and this well, I'm not talking about the well where you fetch water. They went to the well where you get living waters. And when they tasted the living waters, the Bible says the whole village was converted on account of the story of this woman. You have a story. God has done something for you. Share it with the others. You could have been struggling in addiction and God saved you. When you come across your peers, tell them, I went through this. The Lord saved me. You could have been sick in your body and the Lord touched you. It's good to tell others the story. This is what the Lord did for me. And you encourage them. Don't just keep quiet. And they told the people in the morning, I grew up in a vast fellowship. And it's a denominational fellowship in my neighborhood, some in Lemuru. And after the word would call out for prayer requests. And there are people who would say, pray for me. Those we call them unspoken needs. You want people to pray for you, but we don't know what. Which is okay. Now the man would say, no. We cannot pray for you that way. We need to pray well. Because you don't want us to know what is happening. No. And he could remind us about the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She wanted to be healed quietly. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? That was important. Who touched me? And everybody knew what was going on. And I believe your story can become a blessing to another person. And you don't need a lot. Your story can become the message. This is what I used to be. Look at me. Some of us were addicted with so many bondages of sin. But look at us. The Lord has saved us. Some of us, if you look at our background, it was a pitiful background, but look at us. Look at us. This is what God has done. Some of us could have stayed in the village, but look at us. Sorry, I'm not pointing at Brother Mogai. You know, but look at us. Your story becomes the message. You say, this is what God has done for me. He can also do for you. Tell your story. Share your story. Tell people, let me tell you what happened in my life. So we are simply saying, share the gospels. Share the good news. Share the gospel. Share it. And there are some ways we can do this as I end. Look at this. Oh, these things makes me feel like a very big preacher. So when it doesn't work, oh good, here you go. Now, in evangelistic circles, there's what they're calling each one, reach one. That means you don't need to preach to the whole world. You only need to get hold of one person. Walk with them, pray with them. You know, if they're not in the fold, bring them to the fold. If they don't go to church, don't just leave them in the hostel. Even if they refuse your offer, tell them, can we go to church today? You know, social media platforms, how do you use them? Do you use them to propagate hate? Do you use your social platforms to, you know, as a busybody? Use your social media platforms for something good, and you can use them as your space to tell others about the goodness of God, to share that story I talked about. When people read it, it becomes an encouragement to them. You know, I like these shirts with messages. On Friday, we had some graduation party here, and a certain random guy came in with a jumper that was written something very nasty. I think he was not even aware. He was in a church. You know, I wanted to talk to him, but I thought, no. But it was so bad. You know, those jumpers you buy, please be reading the messages. You know, have a shirt that is communicating positivity. That's why politics, why do they give you t-shirts and caps? Branded t-shirts. Because they know it's powerful. And lessons. And bumper stickers. Why do they give you branded items? They know it is powerful. You know, do that. Bumper stickers. You know, saying, how many people have seen these trucks? Especially those from Tanzania. And they have things written at the back. And they are terrible. You know, like, you know, of course, you're driving behind one, is moving slowly, and you are agitated. Then anakuandikia hapo, anakuambia, ungekuwa na haraka, ungeanza jana. You know? Ama ingine hapo, naona, anasema, muzeni wewe. You know, you are thinking it's a note there. Muzeni. You know, and I was trying to look at the internet this morning in that regard. Niona ingine iliandikwa, kura chips. Ukikura chips, uepukani na miba. So bad, you know. And zingine ninaona squeezes inaekwa gari kubwa. This, unaona mtu anasema, do not let my car blind you. My treasure is in heaven. You know, I think it's intimidating the poor. I think it's right. There are many things you can say there. You know, there are many things you can say there. Good things that can spread the good news to others. Not in an arrogant way, but in a respectful way. You know, there are many things, people. To go back. You know, look at that. I like seeing such images. You know, and you don't need to be sophisticated. You know, praying with someone who is needy. You know, can I pray for you? It's okay. You know, it makes all the difference. Pray for someone, you know. And there are many ways you can do it. I studied in a country where you're not supposed to preach the gospel like we do here. So we had to think of very creative ways of, I remember one day we had a coffee, like 5 coffee spots in a busy street. And then somebody wrote there, free beer. Then he canceled the beer. Then down there he said coffee. And people were, huh? You know, that caught their attention. It was a very creative way. They would give them tracts. And it bore fruits. You know, there's things we call conversation starters, like lapel pins. You know, somebody would want to know, like this particular one here, you know, gospel writers, you know, something like that. People want to know, what is this? And it becomes an opportunity for you to share the good news with them. There are many opportunities God will give you. Books. For those who love books, you can buy a Christian book to someone. They can read. You know, movies. There are so many good movies now. You can watch with someone when you invite them in your house. Don't just watch 13 series of a movie that you don't even know how it read. You know, it's good. Watch a Christian movie together talking about something good in life. Somebody who was giving up in life and met God and their life changed. You know, that is huge. Do something like that. We have gospel tracts everywhere. You can share with someone. You can carry them in your bags. You can share them with your friends. By the way, there's something here I need you to read. Whether they throw them away or not, it's okay. You never know. Someone might have their life changed because of that tract that you give them. So there are many things you can do to share the good news with others. And lastly, this is very huge, what we call the ministry of blessings. It is very important. This is what the Bible says. You know, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you quenched my thirst. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison. But look at what we do. We said God when we are praying. We said God to Kenyatta. We said God to Kamete. Remember those? But when you say the last amen, God tells you, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was in Kamete, you did not come. I was in Kenyatta, you did not come. So you are the answer to this prayer. Being there for people. You know, being there when someone is lonely and forsaken, befriend them. That person who is not liked in your class, be their friend. Show them some Christian love. You know, that neighbor of yours, however nasty they are, show them some love. Cook some food, invite them for food one day. Do something good to someone. You know, one day I went to the supermarket and I was on a very tight budget, which... And I'm saying this because most of you, if not all of us, are familiar with that situation. Is that right? So I am in a tight budget, and I go to this supermarket, and I discovered I went beyond my budget. It's not a very spiritual moment. So I'm there with two trolleys, so I'm trying to do my mathematics, what will I carry, what will I not. So I left some of the stuff on one trolley. And someone was looking at me. So I went to the till. A guy followed me. So after I paid, he said, I'm paying this for you as well. And I discovered these are the same things I had left. Then I asked him, why did you do this? He told me, because someday a person paid it all for me. I said, who paid all for you? He told me, one day Jesus paid it all for me. And it's a reminder, when I do this to you, what God did for me. And that was a wonderful. When I went home, they didn't know what God had done. Let me not say what happened. But it was huge. It was huge, people. Lastly, God has declared that his kingdom is in our midst. Let us pray the God of harvest that he is going to open our eyes so that we can see his kingdom. That he is going to open our ears so that we can hear it. That he is going to open our hearts so that we can believe in it. And that he will also open our hands so that we will serve it and also share it with others. And that's why, friends, we need to be part of this great movement of sharing the good news. Share the good news. And may the Lord of the good news help us. Not only to be bearers of the same, but to be beneficiaries of the same as well. To the glory of God and to the blessing of us, his people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. Please, good to have a moment of prayer. God bless you so much. Praise the Lord. And as we pray now, because of time, we...